The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brother, and me, and Device Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
We usually come up with topical humor, quote unquote, for both.
The only problem is all the topics, they suck ass.
Yeah, a lot of the topics suck ass this week. Just like not a lot of real gut busters. But you know what? You don't come to us for that. I'm of the opinion that things will improve. They statistically almost have to at this point. But we combed the news, scrolled through several pages, and try to find some happy headlines to just like brighten everybody's day.
So good news.
Ray Donovan's coming back for big season four.
Big fourth season.
Fourth season for Ray Donovan. Okay, gang.
First of all, thank you, Showtime Stars.
I think that's it.
Thanks to Showtime or Stars for bringing us back Ray Donovan, the handyman with a heart that fixes those around him, just as he's fixing their
here's
windows and stuff.
Here's what I know about Ray Donovan. I saw a commercial once, and he walked into a hotel room, and John Voight was sitting there, and John Voight had a gun. Now,
but it's
Ray Donovan's just there to fix your fucking radiator, Mr. Voight. So maybe calm that shit down for like a second.
But you know what? It's back.
It's back. Fans? June 26th. It is. It premiered last night or Sunday, depending on whether or not you're recording this with us right now or you're listening to it in the future.
Here's
fans of Ray Donovan rejoiced. Ray's back. Hey, Ray. Ray's back.
A ray of sunshine, they said.
Fuck. What kind of relationships for Ray Donovan in the fourth season of it?
He's got eight kids, and they're quite a handful, I bet. And
four from his marriage and four from his wife's previous marriage. How will the two families ever come together?
And one is the cyber clone of John Voight, and that's the ninth child.
Fourth season should have big impacts on all the storylines, and I think it's good news for people who watch Ray Donovan that he's back.
And I think I have heard scuttlebutt through the grapevine that they finally caught up to the books. So now season four, they have actually gotten ahead of the book. So there will be stuff happening that you haven't been able to read about in the Ray Donovan universe before now. So it should be all new. Raw, pure Ray.
Heard a lot of rumors vis-a-vis Liev Schreiber's dick is in every episode as a contractual obligation.
But not attached. It's just like what they do is they Photoshop it into pictures in the background.
And
like when you look on the mantle and you see like family pictures, somewhere in there is Liev Schreiber's dick.
And it's another character, and they call it Greg Donovan, it doesn't make any fucking sense. God, I love this show. I'm so glad it's back for a fourth season on Stars.
One time we saw Liev Schreiber in Glengarry Glen Ross, and during curtain call, we were in the front row, and my dad said, "Thank you." And Liev Schreiber pointed at my dad and said, "No, thank you." So yes! I'm really excited that Ray Donovan is back for another season. Liev Schreiber finally getting the respect that he deserves.
A Showtime or Stars agent was in that audience, saw that interaction, and said, "That's the kind of class that I want to give a Ray Donovan to for four seasons at least."
At least four seasons, if not eight.
You just can't go wrong if you're a Ray Donovan fan with the news the only news currently that is good for Ray Donovan.
Now, is this going to be the season where he finally fixes his dad's very broken toilet? It's kind of his white. It's kind of his white whale as a handyman, huh?
His white porcelain whale.
Yeah, he probably would fix it. But probably not the way 2016's going. He'll probably try to fix it. It'll blow up and cut his drown. Butt off.
I fucking... Ray Donovan, please don't die.
Please don't die, Ray Donovan. You're all the world has. You're the only good thing the world has left, Ray Donovan.
I'm literally on my RSS feed right now just looking for little... Whoa. What the fuck? The Google RSS thing got shut down? Fuck! What the fuck is happening?
It's okay, Griffin. Ray Donovan will fix us all.
Ray Donovan's back for fourth season. Maybe Ray Donovan's fourth season premiere is the global moon landing that we all need to unite as a people and remember.
Do you remember when we all used to have differences and problems and we all used to fight about what? I can't even remember. But then Ray Donovan not only fixed his dad's toilet, but also fixed us all.
But fucking, that's the thing. It brings us all together. Everybody starts watching it. And then Showtime or Starz jacks up the subscription fee, leading the three of us to start an underground Ray Donovan streaming network. You can't stop the fucking signal, Starz or Showtime.
One of those two.
One of you.
Maybe both. So
we're getting pretty excited about
you
Ray
can
Donovan's.
Have your episodes of Ray Donovan for $100 a piece. I'm Starz or Showtime.
I'll probably just head to my local watering hole for one of the Ray days, which is mm-hmm. where they have everybody over and put Ray Donovan up on a big screen and everybody, because you don't want to be left out when the spoilers start a coming. For Ray That's Donovan, true. The season 4 premiere.
Season 4 of
you
Ray
can
Donovan.
Stick around for Ray Donovan trivia night, Ray Donovan karaoke. You know, it's a whole event, you know, and I've made a lot of good Ray fans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's me and them, you know? We're in this together.
And then you get that Chris Hardwick hosted after show, Donovan's Boys.
Uh huh.
And each week they have one of the children on, one of the 9 kids on to talk about like just what they're going through.
My dream is that somewhere Liev Schreiber is listening to this and saying, "Yeah, it's really nice."
Hey, thanks guys.
Thanks guys.
I'm glad I can help. You know, sometimes you question your impact of your art on this world, and it's nice to know that I've made a difference.
I don't know where you're getting some of the stuff about me being a handyman, but art is interpretation by definition. So
maybe you're talking about a different show, but that's okay. You know, press is press.
Yeah.
Watch Ray Donovan.
Please watch Ray Donovan.
Season 4.
Please watch Ray Donovan. Please watch Billions. Please watch Billions. Please watch Ray Donovan. Please watch you can stop watching Homeland, but watch Billions and Ray Donovan.
Who would have the fucking stomach for Homeland right now? Nobody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's gone.
If they shot a new season of 24 right now, like Jack Bauer would go, I don't even know I don't know where to start. I got nothing.
Just like,
I'm going to go watch Ray Donovan.
It'll be him running around for 24 hours just yelling at everybody, be cool. Get on the ground. Be cool. I'll kill your family if you don't be cool.
Everybody just be cool for 2 seconds. Just if we can hold out till June 26th, we can all watch Ray Donovan. That's it. The new season of 24 takes place from noon June 25th to noon June 26th. And he's just trying to make it home to watch Ray Donovan. Together.
Fucking Ray Donovan street team.
Oh, sometimes man. when we talk about stuff on this show, it turns into a thing where people start like sending us all the like relevant like every link ever that connects to that thing. Please don't do this.
Please don't do that with Ray Donovan. No, I want to keep it pure in my heart.
Give me that. Drown me in Donovan. Drown me. bury me in Liev Schreiber. This is it though, right? This is the only one. This is the only little treasure that we've got now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liev. Let's do advice questions.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want to be a bummer, but we're recording this Friday morning and some stuff just happened. And we're just gonna do our best. And by stuff just happened, I mean they announced Ray Donovan season 4. Please read a question. I'm fucking dying.
There's unfortunately there's Griffin. I'm looking through the news. There's really nothing else that's gonna cheer anybody up or anything worth talking. I want a merch squad.
Oh boy, yes, right when we needed it.
Squad
right there at the top, huh?
Well, it's fucking, it is literally breaking news, Travis. The nastiest boy has come to roost.
Yeah, we are fucking, I refuse to give in to this current of negativity. We will continue to be the island, that bright island in this river. And right now this bright island is going to talk about the Burger King mac and Cheetos.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. It happened. Burger King. I'm trying really hard with my voice to make this sound positive and not also depressing news. See if you can tell the times when I falter, they will be plentiful and noticeable.
Yeah.
I want a munch. Burger King. This is the Munch Squad. Burger King is adding the mac and Cheetos.
Would you call Burger King a featured player in the Munch Squad segment? If yeah, it feels Burger like they're King is, they're really trying some stuff out.
They're really seeing what sticks on the old wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is the
I didn't
way
even
that
get to talk about the Whopperito because they have gone so like also the Whopperito just like twofer. That, but let's talk about the Burger King mac and Cheetos. What is that? Okay, well, these fucking people took mac and cheese bites, which are already an abomination. They're like chunks of mac and cheese that are fried.
You ever look at a big bowl of mac and cheese and think like, I would love to stick my fingers in and on that?
It's deep fried mac and cheese shaped like a large Cheeto puff, and then coated. Nothing weird so far. And then coated with crispy Cheeto flavor. What Munch Squad is about is bringing you the direct line from these companies what they want to get across. You know what I'm saying? Like what their message is. Because I don't care. I know there's a bunch of people on YouTube that'll probably like review this item or whatever. I do not. I give not a crap about that.
Can I just say real quick? Do you remember a time in like the mid-2000s? When it was all about like maybe people want salads,
that
was weird.
We've got like a walnut cranberry feta cheese salad, and now it's like, hey, trash people, put your trash food in your trash.
You know what? Instead of those French fries, how about a little bit of yogurt? Oh no, you want to eat a literal trash bag full of macaroni and cheese, huh? Okay.
So this is the lead quote from the press release about the Burger King mac and Cheetos. And I know that they did this earlier in the week, but just in context, it's pretty great. Here's the quote. Mac and Cheetos make the previously unthinkable a reality. Like, Whoa. Is that what we needed? Did you look at the global climate and say, I think what I need to do is make the previously unthinkable a reality.
We need to give everyone something to blame.
I'm reading another quote here, and it's from Burger King food scientist Kenneth Bainbridge, who said, now we are all sons of bitches.
We have become mac and Cheetos, destroyer of worlds.
So it's pretty exciting news. Here's another quote. This is, they don't give these to specific people, by the way. They just say Burger King said.
Wait, is it
here's what the Burger, Burger King, King said. The Burger King said, for anyone who ever wished they could eat warm mac and cheese like they do a bag of chips, mac and Cheetos makes the previously unthinkable a reality. Now with this cheesy treat, everyone can snack on the go, whether en route to the beach, good luck out there.
Yeah, Jesus.
Or during a summer road trip. Plan frequent stops. Hope there's a rest area nearby. You just ate mac and you ate a dookie bullet, my friend. You ate mac and cheese coated in Cheetos.
See who's you like, in 15 minutes, mac and Cheetos.
I hope like, everyone needs to collect a lot of brochures for local attractions, because that is the opportunity that is about to present itself on our fun summer road trip.
Who's like, I just spent 6 months on the Atkins diet, get my beach body right, and I'm going to unspool all of that hard work in the span of one Cheetos bite.
When they say,
I like that.
For anyone who's ever wondered, like, or ever wanted to eat mac and cheese, like, chips, are they talking about, like, 42 people tops that have been, like, super stoned, and they're just like, I enjoy this mac and cheese, but I wish I didn't have to use a spoon.
I mean, Travis, a few weeks ago, I probably would agree with your assessment, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe that's apparently a lot of people would like to eat mac and cheese like chips on the way to the beach. The beach.
I wish
Mom, I need to go in the ocean. I'm fucking coated. Stay there. Stay there, Dylan. You belong to the mermen now.
I wish that Burger King's whole line was like, we didn't want to do this. This is not this is not our choice. We didn't want to do this. You have made us make mac and Cheetos. Please, God, free us from this.
Were the Doritos... I've eaten Doritos Locos Tacos. And now I feel like I am part of the problem, because I did not know when that product was announced it would be such an enormous destabilizing force in the food service industry. Because now
you contributed to it.
Because now fucking everybody's just like, what's the how about Fritos hot dog? That's nothing. You can't. How about a corn dog that's made out of Funyuns? That would
probably
be good.
Pepsi soup.
That would be good as fuck. Pepsi soup.
So I grab a coffee at the same coffee shop every morning. This morning, when the barista took my change out of the register, he looked me dead in the eyes and put my change into the tip jar.
What the fuck is going on? It's like the fucking purge every day out there now.
I was flustered.
Yeah.
And my response was to put an extra quarter into the tip jar before taking my coffee. Wow. Yeah, I guess that's one response. I can't say I wouldn't do the same. I'm a little miffed in retrospect, but maybe it's not a big deal. I mean, I was going to give my change as a tip anyway, so it shouldn't have mattered. Should I have done something different? Am I good? And that's from the great Canadian coin count.
And in Canada, wow. they got those dollar coins, those $2 coins. So that change could have been a significant chunk of money. Right? Loonies and Toonies? Yeah. And that's a
Loonies
thing.
And Toonies.
It's
Loonies
a fucking, I can't.
Loonies, Toonies, Throonies,
Foonies. Spoonies, Boonies. It's just theft. It's corporate theft, but it's not.
Not only theft, Griffin. It's not just theft. It's challenge theft. It's theft that says, say something.
Say something. You ain't gonna say something. I'm the coffee guy. You gotta have this shit.
You need this.
You need this. And I need this. And they just take your fucking phone. I'm gonna
put it in the tip jar.
Sorry, it's in the jar, bud. Going on Craigslist tomorrow.
It's in the jar. Don't come back out of the jar. Once it's in the jar, I don't know what to tell you.
Phone's in the jar. I'm gonna sell your contacts to advertisers, idiot. Here's your cup of mud. You need this.
Enjoy this shitty muffin.
This muffin's,
enjoy your bad muffin.
This muffin's dry as fuck, but that's okay, because it's the purge. Take 10 muffins, just kick in the fucking display case and start grabbing baked goods, because no rule's just right.
Even in Canada, I thought you were cool.
I thought you guys were doing okay up there.
Yeah, I thought y'all were doing all right.
This is the problem. You should be going to Tim Hortons, because this shit would not happen at Tim Hortons.
That's true. A local chain where there's accountability. I agree with you, Trav.
Yeah, this is the problem. You go to those mom and pop shops and they steal your change. I've always said that.
Don't
trust local business.
The best advice we can give you is don't let yourself get stolen from. But like that ship has sailed. Is there any recourse?
Second advice would be, if you do let yourself get stolen from, don't also give them more.
Yeah, don't.
What?
Yeah, that's not a good way to
Does
go.
Does this appease you? Might I Evil return happens. To your coffee establishment tomorrow and face no judgment?
evil happens when good people stand by and say nothing. You should have taken all the money out of the tip jar and said, well, it's contaminated now. This is all mine. I'm not counting it.
Well, and Justin, super evil happens when good people then help the bad people do more bad stuff by giving them more money.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Is it possible that this coffee shop is like a Dick's Last Resort kind of deal where it's like, oh, the baristas are kind of rude to you. That's the whole thing.
It's different, though. It's like Dick's Last Resort, if they took your money and then didn't give you coffee, and then they took your phone and they sold the contacts on Craigslist.
Basically, yeah.
It's criminal.
I would go to that restaurant.
just to mix it up?
Just to mix it up. And, you know, just some days you just want to feel like you're worthless. You know, not for all day, but just while you're eating food. You know, someone to treat you like garbage.
Have you ever been to Dick's Purge Cafe? It's fucking great. My brother went there and he got killed. But it's fine because it's Dick's Purge Cafe.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. They got a kiosk at the airport.
You can get purged right there before your flight. You can get purged
right there at the spot. How about a Yahoo, huh? Just give me like fucking a minute. Can we just pause the show for a minute so I can just look at a picture of Ray Donovan? to recharge
the old batteries.
I gotta fill up the meter. Okay. This one was sent in by Morgan Davey. Thank you, Morgan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Apsidal, who says, how was hacking done before the internet existed? Did people make their own internet? Update. I heard computer hacking was being done in the 70s and 80s. I know the War Games movie was fiction, but didn't it depict a true-to-life technique? I think hacking's existed since, like, the dawn of man, but it used to be just, like, one Gregorian monk would go to another one and, like, open up the book he'd been copying over and would write, like, butt cheeks. Got you again, Gerald, idiot. I hacked your book. I cracked your mainframe. Butt cheeks.
I mean, hacking would be a lot different if you showed up to someone's house and they're like, can I help you? You're like, yeah, I'm here to hack your computer. Please, may I hack your computer, please? I don't even know what that word means.
I'm Ray Donovan, 1970s computer hacker. I'm here to fix your toilet. By the way, I need to get on your computer to learn how to fix your toilet. Hack, 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 hack. I've got all your files, by which I mean some numbers that you made your computer add together earlier, because that's basically all it can fucking do.
It's good. It would be good in ye olden days, because you'd have abacus hacking, which would be great, because it would just, you just scoot a couple beads.
6, 7, 9. Damn it! Who took my 8?
Somebody took my 8 beat away. This shit used to be on punch cards. That would be fun, too. You just fucking bite into it with your teeth. Hacked it. You're not going to run that program good at all.
Who melted all my wax cylinders? Hacked.
Go to some hieroglyphic. You fucking put your butt on it. Hacked it. Got you. Got you, Cleopatra. You like that shit? What historical act does this urn represent? Well, if you read the character smash, you got what's all this dust in there? That's my dad's ashes. Fuck. Oh, Cleo, I'm so sorry. I goofed up real bad. I was just trying
to. It was supposed to be a hack. Do you know what that word means?
I was just trying to hack it. Oh, no.
Oh, golly.
Has anyone seen the script for Love's Labor's 1? Oh, sorry, Shakespeare. I hacked it.
I hacked your script.
That means I threw it in the creek with all the swans.
The swans ate your script, Shakespeare. That one's on me. Got drunk on mead and hacked it.
Nobody's ever going to read K2, King Lear 2. Sorry.
Everything gets better, King Lear 2.
By the way, K2 is a sweet name for that. I hope other people pick that up after the Mighty Ducks movie and Terminator. People got into that for a while, huh? I was thinking about that yesterday. just the one letter and the number. And then it was like, I guess we'll go see that. Yeah. I mean, we could say the whole thing. It's not that hard.
This is not. I mean, it's pretty easy. If this is the hardest episode of this podcast we've ever recorded. I need there to be fucking like, I need there to be a Better Call Saul style spinoff of Ray Donovan starring John Voight, and maybe he takes three of the kids under his wing, and there's two Ray Donovan shows on the, like, that's how fucking bad it's gotten out there.
Travis sent a picture of, oh, cool. Thanks, Trav.
Yeah,
Travis sent a high res JPEG of Ray Donovan. That's something I could just sort of look at whenever I want. It's not even that big. Thanks, Trav. Way to fucking skimp on the bites. What are you paying by the bite? Because this is a very small picture of Ray Donovan.
It's whatever I can Google, Justin. I'm doing my best here.
Now, this is a big picture of Ray Donovan, but the quality is extremely bad. I think I'd rather have small Ray Donovan with the fucking crispness. Because this one prominently features the eyes.
Yeah. This looks like somebody took a picture with their phone of Ray Donovan. The first one's like he's looking directly at me. I'd love to get zoomed in on this picture, but I can't because it's so small.
Let's see if this one does you better.
Please stop sending me pictures of Ray Donovan.
I will not.
That's a man. I just sent you a picture of a man I just found on LinkedIn whose name is also Ray Donovan.
Can you think it's based on his life?
Can you even imagine? Maybe it's him.
I understand that we're pressed for time here, but if you guys don't start saying me bigger, glossier JPEGs, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through this show. I need big pictures of people named Ray Donovan.
Justin, or people pretend I can't to be Ray afford Donovan. Glossy JPEGs of Ray Donovan.
Can you read a fucking question about, but like try to fit Ray Donovan into it?
Okay, I'll do my best. It's got to be organic, though.
I'm just
not
really
there,
excited for the fourth season of Ray Donovan to start on Showtime.
I'm so excited.
I recently took a trip to visit my old college roommate, Ray Donovan, in his new city, New York.
I'm almost certain Ray Donovan takes place in Los Angeles.
That sounds better. I recently took a trip to visit my old college roommate, Ray Donovan, in his new city, Los Angeles, City of Angels. His current friend group peppered me with questions about how he was in college, asking for additional details or explanation of some of Ray Donovan's stories. A couple of tales about Ray Donovan caught my attention for an interesting reason. They happened to me. My old roommate, Ray Donovan, has been using events from my life to regale his current friends. Is this something I need to address? Should I let it go and just allow this Gilderoy Lockhart to profit from my experiences? And that says, help me, brothers. And that's from Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story.
How fucking sick was your life in college?
Probably pretty good. Like,
sounds like
it. Don't.
Yeah.
You should be careful before confronting Ray Donovan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, what did you, like, one time I ate an ATV. That's weird because Ray Donovan said he did that. So who's lying here?
That's weird because if you tell that story to his friends, like, they're going to think
they're
going to
think you're the liar. That sounds really similar to the story Ray Donovan told us about the time he ate a go-kart. I think you might be full of shit.
Wait, did you say you ate a dune buggy? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Do you think that this is a scenario in which the sometimes you tell a story enough that it starts to feel like your own? This is like a psychological thing where you eventually like tell it enough that it feels like it's yours.
Okay, I've heard that said so much, and it may be true. But to me, that defense always sounded like you're saying, I lied so much. I did so much lying that it's basically the truth now.
Rather than being angry, you should feel bad for them when they heard you were coming to visit. Think about the farcical mid-90s Steve Martin movie level of twists and turns and hoops they'd have to jump through to get ready for your visit. Like, ooh. The trailer starts with, like, you're coming when? And then they have to, like, take down all the Photoshop pictures of you and John Voight that they put up to try to make it seem like they actually met John Voight when it was you that met John Voight.
It's like Mixed Nuts, but with less murder. Because I don't know if you guys remember, in that Christmas time movie, they fucking murder a guy, Mixed Nuts.
I think if you are visiting this person at most once a year, this is not a problem that affects your life in any way. I think that this is like more of an issue that you need to take stock for future of like your relationship with this friend where you're like, how many things have they said to me that were a lie? But like all this would do, if you would confront this, is like make you seem like a turd, really. I mean, yeah. Like, this person's trying to build a new life in a new city, and they're trying their best, man. Making friends in a new place is hard.
Yeah, you gotta lie. You just gotta lie a lot. Like, if you're gonna, you can't make a few friends without breaking a few lie eggs, is what they say.
Now, listen, I'm not saying it's ideal. This is clearly a crutch that this person has fallen back on.
Sure.
But, like, I don't think you're doing any, you're not, this is, I don't think that this is hurting anyone. And I think you, like, confronting them or going to their new friends and be like, hey, all those stories were mine, would only serve to, like, vindicate you in some way. Like, unless it's in some way I can't predict hurting their new friend group that your friend is telling these stories, I don't think you benefit anything by calling your friend out.
Trav, I think you're completely right, unless they were trying to save you from being in the extremely unenviable position of being the person that they told all their college stories about, and then you've come to visit. Like, if his every story before your visit had been like, and then Crazy Rick was like, boogity boogity boo, and he burnt down the garbage can and he pushed it down a hill. Like, all these crazy stories about you, when you get there, everybody, there's going to be so much pressure.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be expecting you to be like so wild and so nutty.
Well,
and now you could just be like Sancho Panza. Just be like, man, I don't know. I don't know what stunt this guy is going to pull next.
You would roll
but
up.
I'm just happy to be here for it.
You'd roll up to LA and they'd be like, what do you guys want to do? Should we go go-karting? Huh? Come on. Eat that go-kart.
And you're like, no, I've got a meeting in the morning, so I need to turn in. And I'm, you know, I've got GERD now.
I've got GERD, so I can't eat any more go-karts, unfortunately. That's kind of just sort of a one-time deal. Every person in their life can only eat and digest a single go-kart. So make it count, kids. Don't throw away your shot. That's what Hamilton's about.
And it would be like that one Full House episode where Joey was inexplicably a substitute teacher in Michelle's class. Mm. And Michelle told all her friends about how sick the Bullwinkle impressions were going to be as soon as Joey showed up. And then he showed up as like a normal teacher. And it was like, all the kids are like, man, this guy sucks. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you thought he was going to be doing some fucking
dank Bullwinkle impressions.
Yeah, you promised like the really fucking hot puppetry and sick Bullwinkle impressions. The idea that would have been more cool than showing up and just being a teacher is so baffling to me.
Nowadays, in 2016, like, that episode would be like, guys, you're going to love it. My Uncle Joey's coming. He's going to teach the class. And he's got a bifurcated tongue. You're going to love this shit. It's awesome. He looks like fucking Reptile from Mortal Kombat. You're going to love this shit. Show him the bifurcated tongue, Joey. And he's like, it makes it so much better for pleasure. And it's like, Joey, we're 10. Joey, we're 10.
Just put on an episode of Ray Donovan and let us take our nap time.
Yeah, but who can take a nap when that fucking theme song kicks in? You know the one.
Yeah, the one that's like,
Trav, how does that go?
Ray Donovan.
Right, it's and like a drums. slow pan of him driving down the Hollywood Boulevard, like pointing at all the babes and dudes.
Yeah.
Well, and then stopping to fix the toilet as everyone goes, ooh, and lowers their sunglasses.
That's Ray.
Well, you know, they changed the theme song for season 4, so it's like, hey, now here he comes. It's Ray's day. It has like a much more
up freeze as he like jumps up and does kind of a yay pose.
He's making his way in LA. It can be hard out there for a janitor.
It's like crash zoom to his face and he's just like, point me to the toilet.
Point me to the toilet. I'll fix it right up. I hope Ray Donovan never dies. Ray Donovan, the only good thing going on in the world. How did it get so bad? It's like 24/7 Purge. I thought that was a fictional movie. Here comes Ray.
Fixing it all.
Ray, can you fix my toilet? And then this fucking toilet reality. Ray Donovan, here he comes. Don't look at the other stuff. The other stuff fucking sucks.
Crash zoom. Point me to the toilet.
Point me to the Ray toilet. Donovan. I hope I never die.
Please don't cancel my show. Everyone needs this. We should start a preemptive Kickstarter to make sure that Ray Donovan never gets canceled. I don't know. We're thinking about canceling. Boom! $2 million. Stop right there.
At this point. Okay, first off, Travis, we're going to privately fund Ray Donovan. We're getting ourselves on the show. They don't get the money until we definitely get to be in every shot.
Yes, that's thing raise, one. Raise fund three new neighbors. The McElroy brothers, like, I don't think you'll be able to fix this one, Ray. Cut to end of episode. You fix this one, Ray. That's it. We just need two lines every episode, and I'll be happy. Spoken in unison like a Greek chorus.
What if Showtime just cancels it because Hope is so cruel, like, and they don't want us to have any of that, so they just like cancel Ray Donovan preemptively.
We'll get it streaming on CISO.
We'll do our own suited version of Ray Donovan. Dibs on Ray Donovan.
I call Greg Donovan his penis.
I'm the toilet.
We're all the toilet today, fellas. Let's go to the money zone.
My brother needs supported in part by Harry's.com. Have you ever asked yourself why razors are the only products in the drugstore that are locked behind a plexiglass case? It's true. It's a pain in the butt to get at them. But that's because they're really overpriced. Harry's isn't. Harry's gives you a fair price for really great blades. And you know what? They've been sending me new blades as they come in, and their new handles are really, really nice. Hey, there's another good thing. Ray Donovan and the improvement of Harry's handles.
It's like a katana, this shit. Like, it feels good to the touch. This is Hattori Hanzo steel.
You know what? A lot of times if I'm getting a sub-quality shave with expensive blades, you know, like it's been a couple of shaves and they're not cutting as well as they used to, I would just power through because they're so darn expensive. Now, you know what I do? If it's Harry's and once that blade starts to wear down, I just pop it off. I treat myself to a smooth shave every single time I shave. Harry's has a Truman starter set. It's a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors. But it gets better. You're not going to pay $15. Harry's is going to give our listeners $5 off your first purchase at HARRYS.com and use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. That's HARRYS.com. Make sure you use the code MYBROTHER.
Travis, are you talking about Trunk Club? Because I know that you're wearing that shit on the reg.
I'm actually wearing my jeans from Trunk Club right now. We've had questions on the show a lot before where people have said, like, I don't know how to dress. I'm an adult who doesn't know how to dress. Well, the good news is that there are people in this world who do know how to dress, and they will help you figure it out. And suddenly, it will all seem so easy to you. And those people are Trunk Club. How it works, and I think that this is absolutely genius, and that does not sound sincere because I, Travis McElroy, have a really hard time sounding sincere, but it really is a genius process where basically you talk with a stylist or you go on and tell them what you need on the website. They send you all the stuff. You try on the stuff. You keep what you like. You send back what you don't, and you only pay for what you keep. So you're not stuck with a shirt that doesn't fit right or pants that you don't like the look of. You only keep what you like. It's a smooth, easy process. And like I said, they have stylists who will help walk you through this shit. So you're not feeling like you're on your own going, I don't know, are these shorts even cool? Who knows about socks and ties and stuff? Well, Trunk Club does. So go to trunkclub.com/mybrother. You type in your measurements, share your likes and dislikes, and your stylist will help get you set up. It's not a subscription service, so you won't be stuck paying for the stuff every month, even when you don't need it or can't afford it. You just get what you need, and then you get out. You get your own. Like I said, shipping is always free, and you have 10 days to try on the clothes and send them back. So go to trunkclub.com/mybrother and check it out.
Every day. My office window is right next to our mailbox outside. Every day, the mailman comes, and he dunks that mail in around 11 a.m., which is the current time.
While he stares you dead in the eye.
No, and he's always fucking talking. He's always on a hands-free Bluetooth earbud. Like, I'm not being hyperbolic. Literally every day, all 6 days a week that he comes and he dunks that mail, he's always talking. And it's like, who are you always talking to? Are you just constantly on some sort of, like, CB radio with the other mail people?
You know, they actually do have this. I know taxi drivers have those, like basically group chat lines, usually with other people who speak their native language if they're not native English speakers. And they just kind of like chat all day. Sounds kind of nice, actually.
When I'm traveling for work, though, and I like call Rachel, I'll talk to her for like maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes about like how our days were and then bounce. A fucking mail shift, it's got to be what, like 8 hours at least. And you're just constantly 8 hours. What do you have to talk about for 8 hours? The mail's pretty
7 hours of no, you hang up.
No, you hang up. The mail's pretty good today. Anyway, I got a personal
lots sweet, of magazines.
Like, midway, before you read the jumbotron, wouldn't it be like mailman's got to take a lunch, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be sweet if you're the next house at like right, the one he's going to do right after his lunch? You just see him stop outside and get out a sandwich, like sorry.
Just sit on your lawn and enjoy sandwich and lemonade.
I'm just going to eat this sandwich. I'm on break.
Our mail?
No, you can't have your mail.
I'm
going to read your mail.
Our mail comes at 12:15 p.m. every day. Always got fucking mayonnaise on it. I have no idea. Got some Jumbotron messages here. Folks, the Jumbotron inbox is over full, I would say. Stuffed to the gills. So normally we would point you here to how you get Jumbotrons on the show, but I think we're like full up through January. Is that right? Which is nuts. Thank you so much for your support. But it we say this all the time. It really will be a while before you can get a message on the show now. Anyway,
so go buy a Jumbotron on Adventure Zone.
Yeah,
or Sawbones or Bunker Buddies or Canada or, Dog.
I don't know.
Still Buffering. Sawbones doesn't offer the Jumbotron service, but Still Buffering does.
Okay, Schmanners.
I do the Jumbotron alone on Adventure Zone. I don't know if you guys ever like listen back to those episodes after I edit them, but it's all like almost every Jumbotron is like a player writing a message to their DM or a DM like writing a message to their group of players. It's like almost exclusively.
That's pretty sick.
It's fucking great. Yeah. Anyway, okay, here we go. This message is for Roger and it's from Roger. This is another option for like places to put this energy. Roger says to Roger, "Hey Roger, it's you, Roger. You're a little drunk, which is probably for the best, because this'll be more fun if you don't remember it. I just wanted to say, hang in there, buddy. You're doing your best, and you've come very far. Keep on trucking, Deuterino. Also, everyone needs to know how amazing your dog Pistachio is. Team Stashy, remember to floss. Love, drunk you."
I love this for a lot of reasons, but also, anyone who listens to Can I Pet Your Dog will know that Allegra's dog is also named Pistachio. I love that there are two pistachios in the world, and I assume maybe it's the same dog.
Yeah.
And that it's got some kind of shared ownership thing that I was not aware of.
I love that this is just like really inconsequential memento, like really low stakes memento.
Right.
You got to remember, your dog fucking rules. Go Patriots. Blarf.
There had to be more than a few Rogers when this message started. Who were like, wait a minute, did I? Did I? Hope there's nothing to be. Pistachio. Okay, yeah, it's not me.
My dog's name is Pecan. Fucking great.
Cool. I've got a message here from Daniel Ford to Christine Ford. "Dearest wife of 9 years, I was kindly asked to edit the first version of my anniversary message to you before it was read by the McRoys. It's probably for the best. Happy anniversary. Hint, it mentioned Hercule Poirot.
Okay. I don't remember turning that one down, but the only thing I can think is that we knew we'd have a hard time saying the name Hercule Poirot. And so
and if I know one thing is that Justin hates Hercule Poirot with a passion, so we probably had to cut it out just so Justin didn't boil with a white hot anger.
Actually, the weird thing about that is that I referenced Hercule Poirot in the last episode.
Uh-oh.
That's very strange, right?
Maybe that's why we had to edit it, because we only got one free mention.
The only thing I can think...
If we did it twice, the Agatha Christie estate would charge us for it.
The only thing I can think is that first message was like, "Dear McRoy, please read this in your Hercule Poirot voice. Oh, look at my weird balls." Oh, we can't... You can't make us say that. You can't fucking make... I'm not some sort of circus elephant.
Are you troubled by a lack of astute yet dick joke-filled analysis of bad movies?
Do you experience feelings of laughter and enjoyment when you hear three friends go off on stupid tangents?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, ghost, or totally rad party dude house cat who really only exists as a sound effect?
If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then pick up your podcast listening device of choice and subscribe to The Professionals.
The Flophouse.
Our award-winning and usually only a little drunk staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your bad movie podcast needs.
The Flophouse. We're ready to make you laugh in public so that other people look at you funny.
Hit it!
I'm pretty sure we don't have the rights to this song.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah, that'd be great, actually.
This one was sent in by Game Recognized Game, Rachel Rosen. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Lord Minecraft.
All right.
Who asks?
Sure it is.
God, Notch has a lot of free time now, huh? If a person owns a piece of land, do they own it to the center of the earth?
Wow. Well, can you really own land?
That's a good point. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's a great question, Travis. Yes, absolutely, you can, and Justin and I do.
Oh, I should do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, you know, I got a plot, and the question is, if it goes down, like, do I own... The earth gets smaller as you get down closer to the center of it, right? Like, if you own, like, a little cone of it, like, the surface area is the biggest area
than the inner core.
But do I own, like, I don't know what it would be by the time you get down there, like, maybe a half foot of the inner core of the fucking planet? Of that white hot phosphorus magma or whatever the fuck's down there? Do I own that shit? Is it mine?
Because if not, someone could buy the earth under your house
and make a little mole house under there and have fucking parties all the time, and it's like, ugh, I hate my mole neighbors.
Ugh.
Here's the thing, what about
the air above? Do you own a tube that extends from the center of the earth to the end of the universe?
Jesus, that's like infinite. How big's your plot? Infinity expanding square feet. It's pretty great. It's pretty cool. I love
every time a plane flies over my house, I own it for 2 seconds.
I own it and everyone and all the things on board. It rules. You're mine, Cloud. Cloud, you belong to me. Son, you belong to me from 11:11 to 11:11 in 30 seconds. That's right. Big flaming idiot. You're mine.
You're mine.
Give me a tan, stupid.
Set my DVR to record Ray Donovan.
The sun.
Son.
Son. Do you own the part of the earth that is at the inverse of that, right?
Yeah, bro. Crust, mantle, the whole shit.
I know, but like on the other side too, right? If you imagine it a cylindrical tubular like portion of the earth. I mean, this stands to reason because you own like the very surface, you own the grass, you own the dirt, you own what's below the dirt. So like keep playing it down and you actually own a square of land on the other side of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Justin, what most people don't know is when you buy land, you're actually entering into a partnership with the person on the opposite side of the earth that owns that land.
Can you cut your bushes, person living in Taiwan, please?
You are making my tubular space of earth look bad, and someday I will come visit that other end of my tube.
Ah, beans, guys. I just checked the map, and fuck, my shit's just like in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I don't have anything over there.
The merman.
I guess I got a little bit of the Indian Ocean, so I got whatever fish or whales or just live down there. Man, that sucks. I was hoping I'd at least get a little bit of Australia or maybe the southern tip of Africa or Madagascar or something fun.
Everybody wants Madagascar, Griffin.
You know, I'm looking
at it. Ever since the movie came out?
Pretty much all of America is just all Indian Ocean over there. So, fuck. That's a raw deal.
It's not great.
Do you guys want a Yahoo? Oh, we're on one already, huh?
Hey. The president designated Stonewall as our first national monument to tell the story of the struggle for LGBT rights. That's good, right?
Yes, good stuff.
That's good.
And who's there to cut the ribbon on that monument? Liev Schreiber.
Wow. And he's, oh God, he's dressed up in full Ray Donovan cosplay. Griffin, that's just a suit. Well,
is it?
He's got his toolbox with him, so he's holding the plunger, so I think...
He's carrying a broken toilet on his back.
Which is mostly symbolic because he doesn't really have a toilet on his back in the show, but like it always weighs him down. You know what I mean?
Like, you know, it's like Halloween. Like, you're not going to recognize him unless he has it on there. Here's another question.
I just love Ray Donovan so much.
That's the only thing about it is how much I love Ray Donovan in the show.
It means a lot to me.
This is a good one. This will be fruitful discussion. My girlfriend finds it strange that I prefer to drink directly from the tap rather than take out a glass to get a drink of water. I tell her that sometimes I just want a couple sips of water, and it's easier to drink right from the tap when I want rather than taking out a glass and dirtying it with my mouth. She argues that I can leave the glass out with the water I don't drink for later, but I prefer not to have a dusty room temperature water later on. Am I the weird one for this? Thank you. That's thirsty for advice in New York City.
Okay, there's two different questions. Question one, are you weird for drinking straight from the tap? Question two, are you weird for not wanting a left out glass of water for later? Answer to question two, you are not weird. The glass sits out, whatever germs and dust are in the air get on it. And I don't care what science tells me or someone says that that's not true. I know that there are germs floating around everywhere landing on my water and I don't want to drink it later.
If I drink water that's been sitting around for like a day, I know. Like, let's not pretend like you can call science bullshit on that. I know. I can always tell. That's gross, stale water. No thanks.
I would say that you're giving in to a primal instinct to drink water from the tap. You want to drink running water because there's a higher likelihood that it will not be full of like garbage. So you wanting to drink running water is actually your evolutionary instincts trying to preserve you.
You know, Bear Grylls says, don't drink stagnant water. You got to drink water that flows because stagnant water will be full of germs and bacteria and shit. And so don't drink it. Have you ever seen a deer drinking out of an old glass of water? No. Because the deer knows better.
You know what I do? If I get a glass of water out, I'll get it out, drink the water I want. Sometimes half full, sometimes three quarters full. It's my water. And then I'll drink as much as I want. I try to drink a lot. You know, water is so important. And then I'll dump out what I don't drink, and I'll put the glass back in the cabinet.
It's just water, right? It's just water.
Well, here's the thing, right? What's on that? What is different? What has changed chemically about that?
Your mouth touches it.
Yeah, your fucking lip.
My mouth touch it. My wife smooches me. So she's obviously not freaked out about that. And the other part is just water. What's the harm?
That's fucking ironclad, bro.
Yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah, it's rock solid. There's no reason.
I'm sure. I can't help but feel that you're maybe in your own very small way just moving the needle a little bit closer to the purge side of things with this behavior.
Listen, this is not my intent. And I should mention, if it helps to counterbalance, I always am drinking from my Ray Donovan collectible cup set that I got at Burger King. So if that helps.
Those are self-sterilizing.
Come to your home? Do you point out the ones that you've gunked up with your trap?
Because
I'm going to be in your house for a while this fall. And I would like to know, I would like to have some sort of roadmap. And by the way, this is the second episode in a row where I've requested information on how to avoid interacting with things that have been inside of your immediate family's mouth and around your mouth and around the mouth. Because I love you guys to pieces, but I'd rather not.
Sure, I get that.
Touch that or have that or be, oh God, or be in or around my mouth.
Before we wrap, I would like to take a moment of sincerity here, because I know that if you're listening to this, you may be a little bit freaked out, maybe a little bit down, maybe a little bit whatever. And we rarely get this earnest on the show, but I feel like it's important because I'm not getting this message from a lot of people. And I wanted to make sure that if you're listening to this show, then you're getting it from somebody. Shit's been whack before. Shit's sucked before. If you look at the grand span of history, shit sucked a lot, a lot, a lot. And then there were good days after it. If you think back in your life to moments that you've had, I bet there are moments that you've had in your life that have sucked a lot, lot, lot worse than whatever's happening in the world sucks right now. You have had sucky days before, and then after those days, you've had good days. And I want you to remember that no matter how crappy and scary and shitty and confusing things might be, things have seen that way before. They've seen that way before for millennia. And afterwards, we still managed to create Ray Donovan and a bevy of other points of light.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with
those
you.
Dark times.
About these wonderful cycles. If Ray Donovan gets it canceled, I'll burn the whole thing down.
No, no, no. Listen, if Ray Donovan gets canceled, all bets are off, and you can disregard me as a madman.
Then but we'll know we're in the end times.
For the moment, and that is all you can be in when you're scared about the world and you're scared about everything going around you. Look at the moment that you're in right now, right this second, and remind yourself that that is all you have. And right now, maybe it's okay. You know, maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe you're getting like, I don't know, like slow steamrolled over like an Austin Powers movie or something, but probably not. Probably things are all right. And you will get through this the same as you've gotten it through things before, and the same as we as a people have gotten through things before. Shit even, sucks. It won't suck forever.
Even if this moment sucks, there's another moment on the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, just things you can do. Just get off Twitter. If you can't get off Twitter, don't get on Twitter. And then talk about how the world is ending, because that's not helping anything or anybody. And there's plenty
that's
of people.
That's not helping anything.
Plenty
anybody.
Of people are already doing that. So you don't need to, when
that's
things,
covered.
When things are bad and things aren't great, being on Twitter will do absolutely no good for anybody, because it's kind of a. I'm not saying don't inform yourself or whatever, but like it's just an echo chamber of people all talking about how the apocalypse is coming, and that's not. That's literally. It's psychically damaging, and it is negative helpful. So, like, figure out a way to be proactive, but it don't. Twitter's not that way, because Twitter's the fucking. Twitter's just where things.
Don't put any stock in anything you read there. The fact that somebody says on Twitter that the everything's shit and the world's falling apart probably means it's not true because it's on fucking Twitter.
That's like, a good point.
You disregard everything else on Twitter 24 hours a day. Please do not give credence to the things that scare you or the things that piss you off. It's Twitter. Fucking delete the app and move on with your life. But keep following us because we do have a lot
of
great
social
media.
Content coming your way. Watch the tags. Watch the tags. Mind the tags.
A lot of Ray Donovan based stuff. A lot of fan fiction we've been writing.
Anyway.
Is Ray Donovan potentially like a highly super problematic show? And just like,
oh man, I hope not.
Hey, listen, if it was that problematic, it wouldn't have made it 3 seasons. That's all I'm saying, right? It's got to be doing something, right? So.
Oh, wait, I'm reading a headline here. Why, oh, why is this horrible show going to its 4th season? Everybody hates it. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, what have we done?
Ray Donovan sets back the equal rights movement 30 years. Damn it, Ray Donovan, how are you? I mean, it's a powerful show, no doubt.
No doubt. The ability to change hearts and minds. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Chin up, motherfuckers. My name is Justin McElroy.
Oh, we're not going to do the rest of the stuff. Thanks to John Roger.
Well, like the wrap up, sir.
I'm just mentioning that my name is Justin McElroy, and I want you to chin up, motherfuckers.
All right.
I have been worried about your branding, Justin.
Yeah, thank it's back. The brand is back.
I want to thank John Roger and the Long Winters for the server theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's an amazing song, and we love it so much. And thank you, John Roger and the Long Winters.
We want to say thank you to MaximumFun.org for hosting the show. Go check out all the other amazing shows on there. We got a bunch of new ones and lots of good ones that have been around for a while that maybe you've been waiting for your opportunity to check out. This is it. Go check it out.
Treat yourself this week.
Mm-hmm.
Find some way to do
something nice for
yourself. Go get a cheap massage or something.
And you know what?
Yeah,
do something nice for someone else.
Yeah.
And it's not a distraction. It's not an avoidance. You only have the moment. Make your moments good.
You probably can't caulk up whatever cracks have formed or whatever. Like, you can do your part, but just like, don't obsess over it. Just go out there and get rubbed on for an hour or so.
And you know what? If you find yourself like drawn and you want to put something on Twitter, maybe rather than putting more negativity out there in the world, pick somebody that you like, somebody you're a fan of, or someone you're a friend of, and say, like, hey, I think you're great.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that. Let's put a little bit more positivity out there in the world, because that's what we need more of, really. And in my opinion, positivity breeds positivity. And you go out there and you say something nice to someone and you make their day, and maybe that's all the power you have is to make one person's day.
Like,
but just, that's better than ruining 10 people's day.
Like Ray Donovan says, this HVAC unit isn't going to repair itself.
Exactly.
Let's have a final. Oh, the Max FunCon East, super quick. We're
going
to be there. It's in September, the weekend before Labor Day. Go to maxfuncon.com, I believe, and you can get tickets to that. It's going to be really fun, and we hope that we can see you there.
Oh,
and our Boston shows are coming up. Start sending in your questions for that now. Put Boston live show in the subject.
Please.
So we can have those ready for you.
One definitely super last thing I mean at this time. I opened up a P.O. box here in Austin. Justin and Travis have one, and I want to have one. So if you want to send us stuff, me or Rachel, stuff for maybe you're a Rose Buddies fan. That's our Bachelorette podcast. You can send stuff to Austin. Just send it to P.O. Box 66639, Austin, Texas, 78766. Again, that's P.O. Box 66639, Austin, Texas, 78766.
We'll get that put up on macroyshows.com so you guys can find it easy.
You know what? Just to like blow through, just to like cheer everybody's day up a little bit. I know we're running long, but whatever. We got some mail. I'm just going to blast through real quick to tell you guys that there's good stuff happening. Good people out there. Chris is a member of the Little Debbie family.
What the fuck's that
mean?
The
family that runs Little Debbie and sent us a box, like a giant ass box of Little Debbie snack treats because we talked about them on the Adventure Zone.
Okay,
maybe something you want to mention on the Adventure Zone.
Cool stuff. So when you said us, you meant you, because I'm not going to taste those Little Debbie. So actually what you just did is you purged me a bit and you took some joy out of my life knowing the Little
Alexandra
Debbie.
Alexandra and William are getting married later this year, and they told us to save the date. Amy Kittle graduated from high school at East Hamilton. We're super proud of her. She wanted us to know. Alex and Aaron are getting married later this year in Washington, D.C.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be fucking great. Timothy and Mariah sent us a postcard with a beautiful picture of horses on it. We got Maria Nick sent us a postcard that congratulates on 300 episodes. It's got a really cool raccoon on it.
Hell
which
yeah.
Is just grand.
Love it.
Travis sent me some tax, some receipts. That's not useful. But you know, stuff's happening out there, people. Woo. It's good stuff.
People have also sent me stuff, but I didn't know we were going to do this, so I don't like have it here.
Living,
have a
learning,
list
of, loving.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who sent me stuff too, but
that's
like,
the reality.
You know,
enjoy your day. Enjoy your moments.
Enjoy
we
each
love
other.
You very much. Yeah. And there's lots of great. My brother, me gear, topotico.com.
Shut up.
You just want a
all right,
little retail
one,
therapy.
This final one was sent in by Dana S. Thank you, Dana. It's from Yahoo Answers user Xylon, who asks, why doesn't the Grand Canyon have rides?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Ray Donovan.
I'm Ray Bonovan.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss Ray Donovan square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, my name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
We host the medical history podcast Sawbones, a tour of all the weird, stupid, terrible, horrifying, hilarious ways that we've tried to fix people over the years.
If you haven't been listening to Sawbones, you've missed out on topics like
the seasick proof saloon,
the woman who gave birth to bunnies,
the unkillable Phineas Gage,
the true story of Typhoid Mary,
polio.
And you can check out Sawbones every Wednesday by going to iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold.
They don't sell podcasts. I told you this.
Or presented.
Offered for free. It's free. What better selling point could there be than that? Every Wednesday, MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are offered. It's Sawbones.